ESPN has dropped their ranking of players 100 to 25 today. Where do you guys think Cade Cunningham was ranked? I'm actually pretty surprised about where he was ranked. We'll talk about some players that are ahead of him, behind him, and his position on this ranking in totality in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. On thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast, or on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on, you can leave us a 5-star review. That's another great way to support the podcast. And man, I did not expect this ranking to come out today. I was literally just at work, just chilling, you know, doing my job. And all of a sudden, I started seeing these rankings start flow my Twitter feed. And I was like, oh, God, okay, where did Cade rank? And I saw where Cade Cunningham ranked. And all I'm going to say right now is that I was surprised. We're not going to tell you yet if it's a good surprise or bad surprise, but I was surprised about where he was ranked. Real quickly, I'll spoil it for you guys. Cade Cunningham was the only Piston to show up on this top 100 ranking. But let's go ahead and get into it about where he was ranked, players ahead of him, behind him. Is he too high, too low, just right? Let's talk about all that. And we brought friend of the podcast, obviously, Bryce Simon, host of the Pistons Pulse podcast, to talk about it with us today. Bryce, this is, I mean, me and you talked about it a little bit before we start recording. I think we were both, the word surprised would be a good word to describe how both of us were feeling when we saw it.
So I just want to throw out a few names, Koo. Injuries or otherwise, guys behind Cade Cunningham, and give the context real quick for the listeners on what this ranking is, because that's important. It's not a futures ranking.
Correct. So this is a ranking by ESPN. They had a panel. They composed over 200 reporters, editors, producer, analysts, all of it from ESPN, and they are projecting who will be better in 22-23. So not based off this past season, who they think will be, what this top 100 will look like during this season and after this season. Like, if you look back at this season, this is what the list would be. So they're projecting on to this season what they think players will be.
But not so the future 5 years from now, correct, or anything like that.
Right. So, and before Bryce goes ahead and tells you guys some of the guys behind Cade Cunningham, let's go ahead and tell you guys where Cade ranked on this list already. He was ranked number 35 on this list. Make sure Bryce is going to go ahead and start talking about some of the players behind him. But before that, you guys got to go in the comment section. Let me know immediately what your guys' quick reaction is to Cade Cunningham being ranked number 35 on this list. But Bryce, go ahead with what you're about to say.
And he was 76 in this last year, which I think we'll come back to eventually, Koo, because I think that's very interesting as well when you look at where rookies are ranked this season. Names behind him, Koo: Jordan Poole, DeAndre Ayton, Zion Williamson, Jamal Murray, SGA, Darius Garland, CJ McCollum, DeJounte Murray, who averaged 29-8-2 last season for the San Antonio Spurs. Now, whenever I said I was kind of surprised by this, I was like, those are some really big names. Like, I just can't believe Cade is getting this kind of love, I think is where I'm more surprised than anything. Because I think at the very least, you can make some arguments for those guys. You know, even Evan Mobley, one spot behind him. Scottie Barnes, four spots behind him. So it is a little bit surprising to me he ended up ahead of all of those names.
No, like I said, incredibly surprising for me. I was not expecting to see Cade that high. So I actually think, and we're going to talk more about his placement soon, but I feel like the ESPN actually did, like these analysts, I wasn't expecting them to show him this kind of love. I actually think they showed him a lot of love with this ranking. Now, we'll talk about whether we think that's a right ranking. Is he too high, too low, etc.? But I think at the very least, ESPN showed Cade Cunningham a lot of love that I don't think any of us really expected them to show him, especially based off last year and how much coverage he got and how much he was talked about. It wasn't much compared to the other rookies. He wasn't talked about a lot by ESPN. He wasn't given a lot of respect by ESPN. So the fact that they gave him this much love and this much respect, again, it's just super surprising. But let's go ahead and get into his ranking itself. So Bryce, do you think it's just right? Do you think he's too high? Do you think he's too low? Could you see him moving up during the season? Just where are you at with it? Or would you want me to go first with this?
No, I'll say I think he's probably just right. It's a little higher than maybe what I would have been comfortable just projecting. I think the high-end outcome for Cade Cunningham this year is to play at an all-star level, right? Like that's the high end of where the leap I think he can take, which would put him roughly in the 25 to 30 range. I know there's 24, but there's always injury. So 20 to 30 range. He's right outside of that. So this is probably on the higher end of his medium outcome for me. You know, I would have probably started to get a little frustrated if he was lower than, say, 50. But again, there's a lot of guys behind him. I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, there's almost 10 guys behind him that I think you could make reasonable arguments that just for 22, 23, you could project just as good a season as what Cade Cunningham is going to have. So, I mean, I think I'm excited about it. It's what I hope he becomes. I'm just surprised that's where he actually landed.
So I think you guys are going to continue to hear us say the same word a lot on this podcast, and that's surprised.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with Bryce and say it's probably just right. But I just want to throw out some of the names that I was incredibly shocked to see Cade in front of. First off, Darius Garland. Yep. He was just an all-star this past season. Cleveland just made the playoffs this past season. That was shocking to me to see them rank him ahead of him already. SGA. I feel like SGA gets a lot of love nationally, even though OKC's bad. And they've been taking, I feel like he kind of gets his respect because they kind of know the situation he's in, what they're doing. I was shocked to see that. LaMelo Ball, that was another one. I was just incredibly shocked to see them have Cade ahead of LaMelo. But despite, and like you said, DeJounte Murray, probably the best defensive guard in the NBA right now, along with being, what did you say, 29-8 this past season?
Almost a triple-double. Almost a triple-double.
Right. So it's like, that's, I know 35 is like not as high as we expect Cade to get to in his career.
Exactly.
But at this point, when you look at some of the people they have him ahead of, you got to think of this as like a major W. Like that's like there's, we can talk about some of these guys ahead of him eventually and see if we think he's going to end up ahead of these guys, if this is right. But some of the guys they do have him ahead of, I think that is just like, you can say it's just right. And you can take it honestly. Maybe even I could see some people saying too high, because that is like, that's hefty. Like that's big praise. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm happy about it. I'm hoping that he actually does do this. That would be great. I love it. But this is it's 100% hefty praise, man. Hefty praise. Like those guys I just named: Murray, LaMelo, Darius Garland, all stars already. These guys have been all stars. So it's like And then not to mention he's ranked ahead of Draymond Green, like just won a championship. So like this is really hefty praise for Cade Cunningham.
Tyrese Halliburton is an interesting name. I think Cade Cunningham is going to be better than Tyrese Halliburton this upcoming season. But Halliburton averaged 18.5 and 9.6 in his time with the Pacers. It's not just that he's ahead of Halliburton. He is 24 spots ahead of Tyrese Halliburton. Like, that's what's crazy to me is some of these, you know, Jalen Green, a guy in the same, you know, draft class as Cade Cunningham, 37 spots ahead of Jalen Green. So, or sorry, 27 spots. So like, it's incredible how far ahead he is some of these guys and the names that he ended up ahead of. And like you said, it wasn't a pool of 10 guys, right? It was multiple.
Over 200.
Yeah. So I think what it speaks to is what we see as Pistons fans and what we're hoping to see and expecting to see from Cade. I don't think we're crazy for thinking that, right? Like as fans, sometimes we get a little overboard with our expectations and improvements from players. Obviously people that are really smart around the league are expecting to see the same thing.
Yeah. And again, we'll talk about this as well. Like, do you think that we're going to talk about, do we think that he can even rise up this list? But again, just hammering home that point you just said, I think this really speaks to good things. And we've talked about this in the podcast before, that we feel like everyone that comes to Detroit, whether it's for the Pistons or the Lions or whatever, they feel like they don't get a lot of proper respect, a lot of proper their due. They don't get talked about enough. And especially last year, I feel like Cade's rookie season was really being swept under the rug. But it seems like that people are quite aware, at least at ESPN, of what Kay Cunningham's capable of and what he's going to become, at least from this ranking. And the one thing that I absolutely love the most, and we'll get to an ad break, I tweeted this out. I'm absolutely ecstatic that they had him as the best rookie from his draft class. It's the right move. Thank God. I'm going to continue to brag about that to all these Raptors fans and all these Cleveland Cavalier fans. Listen, real people know Kate's the best one from the rookie class. He's still number one. He's going to be number one this year, next year, 5 years, 10 years down the line. And when he's going into the Hall of Fame, accepting his speech, Evan Mobley and Scottie Barnes will be going after him. He's going to be going in on the first ballot. So it's always going to be like that. They're always going to be little brother to him. It is what it is. It's just how it goes. Kate Cunningham's number one. but when we come back, we'll talk about, do we think Cade can actually rise up this list? Is it likely that he could possibly fall down this list? Which outcome is more likely, etc.? We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors. And Bryce, look, check this out. You see this? We got cool new little graphic for one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. Look at that. You can find all the latest odds, news, and scores. You got a good little football, basketball, baseball there. You know, you can do all kinds of things. Nice little graphic. But again, as I always tell you guys, BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. Find all of the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts, including this year's college football games. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends in action today. And if you head over to BetOnline.net right now, you'll see that Jaden Ivey has the third highest odds to win Rookie of the Year. You can get a head start in all that. MVP, Rookie of the Year, Sixth Man of the Year, likely to win the championship, likely to get the number one overall pick, worst record, best record, all those kind of things at BetOnline.net. Again, head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends in action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So Bryce, man, you like that graphic, man? We got a new little graphic going on down there.
When's Built Bar gonna get one, man? And speaking of Built Bar, I don't know what episode this is that I'm recording. And I've been on Locked On NBA Big Board once. Like I've done some work for Locked On, and I have yet to ever get a single Built Bar or one of those puffs or nothing. And so. Hey, I'm not going to act like I'm going to stop coming on because I love doing this and it's too much fun, but I'm a boycott Locked On if I don't get some Built Bars.
Hey man, go to built.com and use Locked On for 15% off, man. You can get some scent. Oh. All right. So let's get back to the list. So Kay Cunningham ranked number 35. Bryce, do you think that it's more likely that he can get higher than 35? Or likely that he falls below 35. I see you smirking. Are you about to break some hearts here?
I am. I just think this is such a good spot for him that I don't know. Maybe I'm not high enough on him. I think I'm as high as anybody on Cade Cunningham, but maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm a little slow with how I think his progression is going to happen. I think this would be a huge jump to 35. Do you agree with that? Like this would be compared to what he was last year? Like, he wasn't exactly super efficient last year. I mean, he was just a rookie. It's okay. I'm not critiquing. I would say it's probably a little more likely that he drops than rises up. Because again, if he rises any more than this, that means he hit his peak ceiling of what I think he can be in year two. And he's darn near an all-star. And if he's darn near an all-star, like, man, that's big time.
So, Bryce, I'm going to shock you, man. I'm going to be the optimistic one on the podcast.
Okay. Wow.
I'm going to be the happy person on the podcast today. I think it's more likely that he can rise up. Listen, man, Kate Cunningham is him. And listen, if I'm going to ever be faced with the outcome or the choice of good or bad with Kate Cunningham, I'm always going to take good. So I'm always going to take good because he's Kate Cunningham. But realistically, though, I think that
how high?
Okay, so that's what I was going to get into. That right there is exactly what I was going to get into. So here's some of the names that are ahead of them that I could see. Now, listen, the Pistons are not going to be good this year. I don't think they're going to be good. So I don't know if he's going to be able to get an All-Star or not because of that. That's why. I think it's going to hold him back from getting that. I've said that before. However, as just a particular player, an individual player with how he's put on muscle, how he's a two-way player, and how I think he's going to draw free throws this year, and he's going to up his efficiency. He might even get closer to 25 points a game because of simply free throws he might draw this year. These are the names I'm going to come out here and say, Bryce. These are the names. And because he's going to have a lob threat from the beginning of the season. Here's my belief. Here's my belief right here. Here's some of the names.
And because Stu's going to be knocking down threes to keep the floor spaced.
No, I don't know, man. Don't know. Let's not get too ahead of ourselves. All right, so here's some of the names. Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart's directly ahead of him. I think he could leap Marcus Smart.
Okay. Defensive player of the year, Marcus Smart.
Yep, defensive player of the year, right. Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving barely ever plays. He doesn't. Who knows if he shows up? I think he could show up.
He's got to show up because I've been telling everybody that the Brooklyn Nets are an Eastern Conference contender this year. So I need Kyrie to show up so I don't look like an idiot by the end of the year.
Fair enough. And Kyrie and Marcus Smart are the immediate two names ahead of him at 34 and 33. So I think if Kyrie doesn't play a lot of games, then K can jump two spots there. So those two names right there. I think this one, I think you'll agree with me in this one. I don't know. Andrew Wiggins. I actually think they did Andrew Wiggins more props than they did anybody else on this list. I don't know if he should be this high.
Probably not, but man, he was really, really good. So like, it's probably a little bit of like recency bias, riding the flow or whatever. By the way, I think Andrew Wiggins would be a sneaky, interesting offseason signing for the Pistons.
Oh, we just talked about that in the last episode, Bryce.
Okay. The problem is I think it's going to be too much money from what I would actually want him to sign him to. I just think he'd be a really, really nice fit with the team. I don't think the contract would probably make sense.
All right. Fair enough. So Andrew Wiggins. Where are we at? Three?
That's three.
All right. Fourth one, DeMar DeRozan. I think he can leave DeMar.
Okay.
And that's all we got so far.
I was going to say.
They stopped. They stopped at 25. So
I know. We don't. I mean, and those names are.
I think we know the names.
Are the dudes of the league. And that's what I'm saying. So what? Almost to 30?
Yeah, I think he could go, and this is the thing. This is the thing, too, because I think he's going to have a great individual season.
Sure.
I'm not one of those people who believe that the Pistons are going to be very good this year nonetheless.
Sure.
If he does have a great individual season, somehow that leads to Pistons success, top 25. Well, top 25, top 20 kind of stuff right there.
Well, and so that's what, and I know we're going to get into this eventually. You mentioned it at the top. No other Pistons make the top 100. So right. I think that in itself shows you how much people respect Cade Cunningham in the fact that they don't necessarily love the rest of the roster in terms of, top end talent. You know what I'm saying? And this doesn't mean, I mean, there's still good players outside the top 100 in the NBA, right? Like you're not, there's 150 starters in the NBA. So, you know, if you're not in the top 100, it doesn't mean you're a bench guy. But I think what it speaks to is something, quite honestly, we've talked a lot about, Koo, is the number two guy may not be on this team right now. You know, there might be a couple number three guys. And so that might be them giving credit to Cade Cunningham, like, look what he's doing without a quote-unquote Robin to his Batman.
Oh, and since you went down that wormhole, this right here is why I think he could jump higher. Because I think there's legitimate questions, and I think nationally people think this. I've said this on the podcast before. People like to try to call me a hater because of it. I don't get it. It's just me being honest. I don't know. I know there's questions for a number two. There might even be questions for a number three. Like top in the top 100, there's not a single Piston on the top 100. Now, we'll talk about in the last segment, do we think there's going to be a top 100 player on the Pistons eventually this season? At some point this season, will they play good enough to get into the top 100? Do we think after the season we'll look back at this list and say, okay, there actually was another top 100 player. But I think this list, and if you're being objective and actually looking at what they've done, there's legitimate questions about whether Cade has a number two or a number three. So Cade's carrying, I think, and that's another thing you mentioned. I think they're giving Cade a lot of credit for the amount of burden that he has to carry. Like no one, with Barnes and Mobley, they have great teams. He's carrying a lot right now in Detroit.
It would be interesting to know, like, what other guys are on this list that they're the only player on their roster and like where those guys are. Like, I just wonder if Cade actually got bumped up a little bit because they knew no other Detroit Pistons were going to make the top 100, you know, as opposed, we don't have the full list yet. Again, we could put it together, but I can't think of anybody. Paolo at 82 is the only Orlando Magic because Franz surprisingly didn't make it.
That's surprising.
I'm trying to think. Jalen Green as well with the Rockets. I think he's the only one there. But, like, the Celtics have seven dudes. And so, like, part of me is like, oh, okay, they get to Cade Cunningham. Somebody looks at their ballot, realizes they didn't put any other Pistons on there, and they're like, oh, maybe we'll bump him up a couple spots, too, just to give the, you know, the Pistons a little bit of love here because we're not going to give them love anywhere else.
But, yeah, I mean, let me just do hammer that point home. Let's just go from 50. I'm just going to name these players, and you've got multiple other players that are considered, like, on this list and are good on a good team. Jamal Murray, Mikal Bridges. SGA is another one, actually. SGA right there. But he has Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey was at number 81.
81.
So you got SGA, Sabonis. He has other ones on here with Harrison Barnes and Fox. Darius Garland, he has other ones. CJ McCollum, he has other ones. Tyrese Maxey, he's going to have other ones. I'm assuming James Harden's going to be in the top six.
And Joel will be in the top five.
Right.
And Tyrese Maxey was in like 60 or 70 or something like that.
Yep. Draymond, DeJounte Murray, Trey Young's going to be up there. Clint Capella was already on
there. Collins was on there. Yep. Bogdan was 100.
Is LaMelo the only one from the Hornets on here?
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine they ranked Miles, so.
So, yeah,
Terry Rozier would have been on there. So, he wasn't even top 100? Wow.
Terry? I don't think I saw Terry on here.
I if he did, I didn't notice him.
I'm doing a quick scroll through right now. I don't think I saw him at all. That's actually kind of shocking. I know people don't like Terry, but I think he's very clearly a 100 player.
Yeah, I do. When we get to the next segment, I do want to talk about some of the guys at the back end and if, you know, one Sadiq Bey could actually possibly match up with any of those guys or have an argument for them. But I don't think Rozier's on. I don't think Rozier's on here.
That's crazy.
So LaMelo would be the sole one.
Yep. So I think the only other person around, like in this top 50, is LaMelo, like Cade. Those two are the only ones who are on here without any other realistic, like, top 100 help. So I do think they get boosted for that. I think they get a lot of credit for that in this ranking because of how much they're being asked to do and how much they think they're going to do for their respective teams to keep them, I guess, respectable this season. So I think Cade gets a lot of credit for that. And like I said, I think K can rise up this ladder. I think K has a chance to. Now, I'm not putting this expectation on him. I've said that before because I think it's very unreal. It's unrealistic to expect it. But I do think he can do it. I think he could take a really big jump, become like an all-star level player. And if he takes an insane jump to where it's actually affecting wins despite the roster around him, then I think he's jumping top 25, top 20 kind of stuff. That's like that's crazy kind of jump. So I believe in it. I think he could possibly rise up. But I would say I think this is just right. I think he's probably going to be right around here when this season ends. And like I said, I do believe Cade's going to be a future MVP someday. So this is nowhere near where I think his ceiling is. He's going to eventually get there. But second season, for them to have him 35 ahead of some of these champions, some of these all-stars, and some credible stuff, man. Incredible props by ESPN.
I think it's hard for us to know how to talk about this because we're so used to having to defend the ranking. Like, it would almost be easier. We're like more conditioned to talk about it if he was ranked like 75th and we had to just like tell everybody why he was ranked too low, you know, like the rookie of the year thing where it was like nobody was giving him any love and we had to, you know, defend him. It's like, wow, like they gave him his due props. Like, let's just pat him on the back and let's move on.
Right. So we'll talk about his teammates. Are there any other Piston teammates that could find themselves on this top 100 if we look back at this list after this season? Is there any teammates he has that we think possibly should already be on this top 100 list? We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, you guys got to hear from some of our lovely sponsors. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. It's the best way to support the podcast, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Just to give you guys this heads up one more time. Actually, not one more time. I'm going to lie. I'm going to continue to give you guys this kind of heads up. I'm not going to be here at the end of this month and the beginning of October. I'm getting married down in Jamaica, so I will not be here for the beginning of Pistons preseason. You guys will be getting some scheduled ahead episodes. So if you guys are wondering why Ku's not coming with recaps for the preseason, why is he not talking about the preseason? It's because these episodes are probably going to be recorded like a week ahead of that date, because I will be down getting married and it won't be Listen, if you even brought up the idea of me recording down there, my fiance would destroy everything in her path. So it's just not going to happen. And another thing real quickly, make sure you guys check out the episode with Michael Lancaster a few episodes ago. It was a tremendous episode. He's the trainer for Isaiah Livers. He's trained over 100 NBA players. You've seen him in the movie Hustle on Netflix with Adam Sandler. It was a great episode. I loved it. A lot of insightful stuff. So if you guys haven't watched that already, make sure you guys go check that out. But all right, Bryce. We didn't get any other Pistons on this top 100. I'm sure Pistons fans are livid. I'm sure they're already in the comments right now letting us know how BS it is. Do you think, as of right now, we'll get into like at the end of the season or maybe throughout the season, etc., but do you think right now that ESPN did the Pistons wrong and that there should be another top 100 player, or do you think this is probably the correct way to go about it?
I mean, Corey Joseph and his agent should be furious right now. Okay, so I don't think there's probably another top 100 player. Now, I don't know who players 101 through 150 are. So I hate saying, like, this guy shouldn't be on there if I don't give another name, right? But I do look at a few names and do wonder if Sadiq, if you couldn't make an argument for Sadiq Bey. Like, could Sadiq Bey do what Grant Williams did or similar type things to what Grant Williams did on the Boston Celtics? Is Sadiq Bey as good as Mitchell Robinson? Are you going to answer my questions or am I going to leave them recording?
You want me to answer them right now?
Maybe the comments will answer them. I'll make sure and check tomorrow. Keegan Murray hasn't even played a game yet in the NBA. And I know that's a thing, like with rookies and all of that. So here's all, I'll leave it at this. I think there are some guys at the very tail end of this where if you just went one-to-one with Sadiq Bey, maybe you could make an argument. Maybe.
All right, so you know how I told you earlier, like I was the happy person. I was going to be the optimistic person.
Let's flip the script.
Yeah, we're going to flip it here. Yeah, I don't think they have anyone else on this team that's top 100. And I don't think it's particularly close, to be honest.
Okay.
So like just to give an example, you brought up Grant Williams. I think Grant Williams is already like way better of a defender than Sadiq is.
That's fair.
And what Sadiq's supposed to be better. Now he doesn't do it nearly on the same volume. But Sadiq's supposed to be his best attributes is shooting. Sadiq shot 35% or 34% actually from deep this past season. Grant Williams shot 41%. So I feel like Grant Williams definitely is probably more valuable right now. Is he, if you had to take a guess at who would be probably have the most likely outcome to become a number three on a team, that's Sadiq. But that's not how you rank players. Like who's the more valuable player right now for a winner? I think it's clearly Grant Williams. Because if you put Sadiq as a three on a team, that's probably not going to be as successful if you put Grant Williams as a 5, 6, 7 on a team. I think Grant Williams is much more valuable right now than Sadiq.
Yeah, so my thing with Grant Williams is just like the role he gets to play in Boston. Like Sadiq has a bigger offensive, you know, volume and, you know, weight on his shoulders than what Grant Williams does. And so the other thing, I think more than like comparing him to Sadiq, I was surprised to see Mitchell Robinson in the top 100.
Fair enough. I mean,
Josh Giddey, I was surprised.
Josh Giddey, I was surprised to see him in the top run. He was actually someone I was surprised to see.
And again, I'm not saying these guys aren't that any good. And I guess I need to like look at some of the names. Like I would be interested to see what 101 through 150 is. Cause like I say, I hate to say Mitchell Robinson shouldn't be in the top 100 and not give the listeners a name for somebody who should. Like, I don't like when people do that. So I hate that I'm doing that right now. That's what people love to do with March Madness, right? Like this team shouldn't be in there. Well, tell me what team should be in there. Or if you're going to put somebody in, tell me who should be out. But some of those names were just interesting to me. And I would love to take a little bit deeper dive into the names that were left off and start to compare those, Detroit Pistons or otherwise. Nobody else on the Pistons is even close, I feel like.
I think Sadiq is the only other person who has like I don't think Sadiq really has an argument, but if you had to pick one player, I think it's obviously Sadiq. No one else
So the argument is Keegan Murray's at 95 and Jaden Ivey was drafted higher than him. I think this again goes to the Kings are going to theoretically be a little bit better, so maybe he has a little bit better of a season overall and impacts winning.
Well, I think Keegan also I think some of the thing with Keegan, though, also is that he was like the he's like older. The ready-made player, and
100%.
Jaden's more looked at as a guy who has a higher ceiling, but he may take a little bit longer to get to his ceiling. Whereas Keegan, they think he probably can get there pretty quickly, and it's just lower, basically.
And I think we have to remember that about both of our rookies, too, because Cade came in and was pretty darn good as a rookie, inefficient in some areas. We all get that. Jaden Ivey and especially Jalen Duren, and I've preached this a lot, they're not those. They're not the same type of players. They're not the same type of rookies that are going to come in and be ready. You know, even Sadiq, right? Like Sadiq came in and had a really good rookie season, and his game translated really well. And so I think the fan base is going to have to go through some more ups and downs and roller coasters and growing pains with both of those guys, Jalen Duren maybe even a little more than Jaden Ivey, before we find that ceiling for them.
So just getting back to Sadiq real quick, I've pointed out in the podcast many times how Sadiq really impressed me with how he played in the final 58 games, or what I think is 58, 56 games of the season. I thought he played really well. Or no, I think it's 54, because the first 28 games was really bad, and then 28 minus 82 is 54, right? 20, yeah, I did my math there right. So 54 games, I really liked how he played. However, if you're making a top 100 list, you can't have bias in it. Like, you have to be objective. And objectively speaking, I just find it really I'm not gonna be able to make an argument. Like I think anyone's gonna have a really hard time making an argument for somebody to be in the top 100 over some of these guys who shot 39% from the field on the year, 34% from deep on the year on 7.4 attempts on a bad team. Like, so I think this is going to be really hard for someone to make that kind of argument for a player like Sadiq.
This makes me really interested to go through the names that got left off. Like, I'm really intrigued right now.
Hey, Terry Rozier, we just found out Terry Rozier's not on there.
Because if you just blanket said, do you think Sadiq Bey is a top 100 player in the NBA? I would easily say no. But I look at some of these names in the bottom 10 of this list, and then it's like, man, maybe he's closer than I thought. Because I don't, if you want to say he's not better than Grant Williams or Mitchell Robinson or Keegan Murray or whatever this season, he's not crazy far off from those guys. And so either he's closer than I think, or there's still another 25, 30, 45 guys that make up a little bit of a gap. It's not a super wide gap, but make up a gap there between 100 and 150.
Well, I think this is the thing, and this is how I read this ranking. This is how I would do the ranking. I guess that's why I read it this way, because this is how I would do it. Like, if you asked who has the larger toolkit, who has a larger toolkit to do stuff, Sadiq probably has a higher toolkit than some of these guys. But what I think, when I look at this list, what I think they're doing here is, yes, Sadiq may have like a RAR, and when I say RAR, I mean like RAWER. Toolkit, but if you put him on like in a winning situation, he's not gonna be able to show that toolkit because he's not that good at it. He may have a larger one, but he's not good at it like right now. And would he be able to do the things these guys are doing for winning teams at that level? And I'd say no to most of all these guys. So again, like I said, I think he has like a larger toolkit, like I said, than Grant Williams, a Seth Curry, maybe Seth Curry. He has actually, maybe not even Seth Curry. Seth Curry actually has a pretty decent toolkit. I like him.
I think they're taking into account these teams winning games in general as well. Like we said, Boston Celtics had 7 players.
Right.
The Cavs must have 6. Because Spider, Garland, Mobley, Allen, Love, and LeVert made it. So, yeah. I mean, obviously this makes sense, but the better teams seem to be loading up with players on this top 100. So I wonder if there's just like an impact of on a good team in that context, you know, those guys are kind of getting the benefit of the doubt. These quote unquote, like fifth options on a winning team over
are more viable,
are more like valuable than the second option, Terry Rozier, on a team that may not even make the play-in this year.
And I'm going to say here, I'm going to agree with that kind of assessment. That's how I believe it should be ranked.
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Yeah, I'm going to sit here and say I agree with that kind of thing. I think guys who do these type of roles on winning teams are much more valuable than guys who can put up inefficient stats on bad teams. Like, they're just – that's much more valuable to teams what these guys are doing. So again, I don't think Sadiq's a top 100 player. I don't know if he really even has an argument based off his past season. But moving into who we think will have an argument maybe during the season or after the season, I do think Sadiq will, by the end of the season, have an argument to be top 100. And I almost want to say I think he will be top 100 by the end of the season. Okay. However, I think that's going to require one specific thing. He can't shoot below 40% from the field, and he has to actually be great at what he's supposed to be great at. Like, that has to happen.
Yeah.
I do think he's going to get there. I think if I had to take a bet right now, do I think he'll be a top 100 player at the end of the year? I'm going to say yes. I think he has a chance to get there. But I think Sadiq is most likely one to get on there. And I don't know. I don't know if I know anybody else that I think will make it on here next year. I don't think so.
Just to start this year?
Yeah, like if you look back at this list at the end of this season, do you think there's any other Pistons that you think could find themselves on here? I think Sadiq's the only one.
Yeah, I mean, how many second-year guys made it this year? Cade, Mobley, Barnes, Green, Giddy.
That's it.
Is that it? Yeah, like Franz didn't even make it.
Yeah, Franz Wagner, who is incredible, he's I think he's going to be utterly fantastic, especially this season. He didn't even make the list. So, like, I don't know, man.
Ivy, maybe. Sadiq's probably the best chance. And you're right about Sadiq. You know, we were having this debate on Twitter here a couple weeks ago about Sadiq. And I know we end up sounding like Sadiq haters, and I guess it just is what it is at this point. We're not. We both love his game. We think he's going to be very valuable to this team and a really good starter on. Oh, it's after we did the tier thing.
Right, yeah.
And everybody kept throwing the 51-point game at us and the 51-point game. And I text you because I had to look it up. Do you remember how many games I told you Sadiq Bey didn't score double digits in?
Oh, it was – oh, it was now, like, I'm going to be mad. 25?
It was 20 or 22 or something like that. So, yeah, I know he had a 50-point game. He also had a game where he only scored 3 points. He had 20-plus games where he didn't even score double digits. As you said, he shot less than 40% from the field. Now, I got the pleasure of recording with Rob Murphy here a few weeks ago on the Pistons Pulse. If you haven't listened, go listen. And he said that Sadiq Bey may be the hardest worker in the NBA. So should we count out Sadiq Bey? Absolutely not. He absolutely will probably improve. But if you're just going based off what we've seen, like, he shot under 40% from the field. He shot under 35% from three. Those aren't exactly efficient. And I have questions about him defensively. So in the context of top 100 player, like, yeah, you're going to question that a little bit.
Yeah, I completely agree with everything you said. And look, I'm done defending the whole we're not Sadiq Bey haters. Like, if you want to call us haters, if you want to call me, I don't care anymore. Like, it's just, it is what it is. It's just simply being, like, straight up on these lists and being objective. I understand that we're Pistons guys, but we're not gonna come on here and be a slappy and, like, try to make an argument that a dude, like, listen, I, like Bryce has said, I think Sadiq, and I said this before on the podcast many, many times, I think Sadiq probably, and this is high praise to him, I don't know why people look at it as, like, bad praise, but it's high praise. I said many times, I think he will be the highlight piece in a big trade for a star. I don't think people quite understand what that means.
That's huge.
That means he's going to be good enough to be a core piece for a superstar or an all-star. That's why I think he's going to get to. So I believe in Sadiq, but right now I just don't see how you can realistically make an objective argument for him to be in this top 100 right now. I just don't know if you can do it.
There's a difference between us saying he's not going to get better and what we're saying, which is there's areas for improvement in his game. I think that's the disconnect with what we're saying. If he comes out next year and shoots 45% from the field and 38% from three and improves defensively, I will come on this podcast as much as you want me to, and we will rave about him. And
right.
You know what, Koo? He very well may do it. He may average 20 a game this year and shoot those numbers. And by gosh, I hope he does. I'm a Pistons fan. I want him
exactly.
To be good.
Exactly.
I want him to be good as much as anybody. All we're trying to do is evaluate what we've seen so far and give our honest opinion on it. And right now, that's what it is. I will also say this. If you think he's going to be a number two option someday, I'm not going to critique you for that. I'm cool with that opinion. I just tend to disagree with it.
All right, so moving away from that, is there any other player? that you think could be on this list? I don't think so. I think the only other player I could think maybe is Jaden, but that would require like an insane rookie year.
Yeah, it would be a really good rookie year from Jaden. I think the best case scenario for Jaden is he cracks the top 100 to start next season. You know, like he shows enough. He shows enough in his rookie season. And then coming into next year, it's like, hey, we project him to be a little bit better. Hopefully the team's going to be a little bit better. Jaden's going to make a top 100 impact in the NBA in 23-24.
Yeah, that's exactly where I'm at. I think Sadiq's the only one with a chance to crack it this year. Yep. But next year when they make their looking ahead to what will it be, 23-24 season?
Yep.
I think Jaden Ivey will probably be on that list. Sadiq will probably be on that list. Heck, maybe you might have another player on that list because I think that will be the year when the Pistons really make a jump. But I think you'll be waiting until then to see some guys make the list. But right now, seeing Kate 35, I think is good enough. Them giving Kate that much love and having him ahead of who they had him ahead of, I think that's good enough. I think that's a lot of love, and that's good enough for the Pistons fan base, in my opinion. I think that's really nice.
Can I just give a few just random ones? That Paolo at 82, I thought was interesting. Cade was 76 last year as the number one pick going into his rookie season. Paolo at 82. Ben Simmons down at 76. I get it. I understand it.
I think he's probably the most likely one to rise pretty far.
I'm buying a lot of Nets stock. I may end up looking like an idiot. I understand anybody who disagrees with me. Completely understand. It's all on paper stuff. He dropped almost 50 spots, Koo, from the season before. Cade actually rose 41 spots from 76 to 35.
That's crazy.
It'd be interesting to know if he was the biggest riser. Jeremy Grant, former Piston, 64th, dropped 11 spots. And then Kyle Lowry at 6, I think, is way overranked. I'm not a big Kyle Lowry fan. I think that's too high for him.
Where do they have Lowry? He had a really bad season this past year.
Number 60.
Yeah, so I think off the
– it's not super high, but it's not super high. It's not crazy. It's just interesting.
No, I think he's too high based off this past season. I mean, it is projecting. They think he's going to be healthier and get back to where he was more with the Raptors. But I think at his age, I think that's probably asking a little too much.
And they did drop him from 43 to 60. Julius Randle, I was just looking at his. I think he went from 43 to 71. Yep, 42. Yep, that's 42 to 71. He had that big year. What was it? The actual COVID year or the year right after, whatever.
I think it was 2 years ago.
All those seasons are tough, man. They seem to run together now. I think it must have been the year after the bubble, whatever that year was.
Yes.
And then the year, you know, last year, it was a struggle for him. So it would be interesting to see maybe once the full top 25 or top 100, once they do the top 25 is out, we can get biggest risers, biggest fallers, and those things from 2021 to 2022.
Well, the one thing that stood out to me, and then we'll wrap up the podcast, it has gone on a little bit. I told Bryce this before, was Paolo Banchero being ranked ahead of Aaron Gordon already. They had Aaron Gordon 83, Paolo Banchero 82. I really like Aaron Gordon. I've always liked Aaron Gordon. I think he's really, really nice player. I think them having Paolo already better than him, I think it's pretty hefty praise for Paolo. I don't know if I would agree with that. But that jumped out to me. I also don't think that Aaron Gordon should have fell from 69 to 83. I think he probably should have just stayed around that same ballpark, if it's my opinion. But that's just my opinion on that. You guys got to let us know. What do you guys think about Cade Cunningham being 35? Do you guys think there's other Pistons that should be in the top 100? Do you think there will be another one on the top 100 if throughout the season, looking back at the season, that should have been on there? Let us know in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Koopa Hill or Bryce over at Motor City Hoops. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. Make sure you guys hit that subscribe button at the YouTube channel or leave a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform. And until next time, guys, I will see you guys later. Stay safe and peace out.